the Spirit of the Lord. I have called you as my own. I have named thee. You are precious in my sight. I cover you with my feathers. There is nothing that can touch you. You are the apple of my eye, says the Spirit of the Lord. I will transcend you and bring you into a new thing. I will remove all obstacles. I will set you on hills that cannot be shaken. Trust me, and you will see my hand shine, and you will see my grace flow, says the Spirit of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You can have your seats. Thank you. Praise the living God. I see we have dignitaries in the area. I'm talking about you, eh? Don't think I'm talking about someone else behind me. That shows what you think about yourself, eh? Because people like to turn, eh? Definitely not talking about me, Rabbi. Who are you talking about? No, I'm talking about you, eh? I see we have dignitaries in the area. Praise the living God, eh? And so, there's nothing greater than being in the presence of the Lord. Praise the living God. You know, when we sing about the majesty of God, I pray that one day God gives you a glimpse of what that majesty is, because most of the time we use our imagination to try to see what it is that we're singing. And I can tell as I move around that there are people who struggle with the burden that they've come with to connect during worship, simply because they have not learned how to allow God to be supreme over their situation. Because for many people, God is supreme over their situation in their minds. In their minds, God, you're supreme. God, you're supreme. But the heart is saying something else. Praise the Lord. And I pray that the Lord will give you someday soon, a glimpse into what it means to actually see the majesty of God. Praise the Lord. And all you need is one glimpse, because you see, the way things work with the realm of the Spirit is that when you have an experience, it becomes part of you. It's the reason why the Bible was written the way it was, even long after Jesus Christ had died and resurrected and left. Because once you have an encounter that is spiritual, it remains part of you. It's very hard to forget it. I mean, I don't know, maybe if you guys, when you read through the New Testament, like, how could someone possibly remember all this? Because when you have an encounter, encounters leave stamps on the hearts of men. Genuine encounters. That's why I can often tell when someone is forging an encounter. At least you should be able to tell. The story often changes. praise the Lord, eh? Anyway, another reason why possibly some people could forget encounters is not because the encounter is not genuine, but because there are things that you have, the encounters that come your way, that are based on the strength of your spirit man. And so if your spirit man cannot contain the encounter, it will fade. Okay? So usually what you do with such things is to yap it and yap the encounter until it has been sealed in your spirit. Praise the living God. In fact, let's go there. Second Chronicles chapter 18 and verse 18 to 20. Second Chronicles chapter 18 and verse 18 to 20. Now, this is a story about a prophet called Micaiah. He comes before a group of prophets. By the way, genuine prophets. And he says, he gives an example of a vision that he had. Actually, I don't even think it was a vision. He was actually there. And he explains to these prophets why what they are prophesying is wrong. And he says, again he said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. verse 19. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he might go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one spake, saying after this manner. Now this is happening in heaven. And another saying after that manner. So this is a discussion going on in the spirit. And it still happens today. There are discussions that actually go on behalf of nations and on behalf of you.
Amen.
The only difference is that this particular scenario is interesting. And I won't go deep into what it actually means for now because it would sidetrack me. But then it says, then there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith or how? Okay? Go on. Verse 20, 21. And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so. God, and many of you have read this, eh? You should see men of God trying to explain this part of scripture, eh? Very, very interesting. You know that there are things you cannot explain unless you've encountered. You can be off totally. Okay, next verse. Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets. So Micaiah is standing before the king and his prophets. And he turns and says, you all are prophets, but it is God who has put a lying spirit in your mouth. And the Lord has spoken evil against thee. God speaks. God has spoken evil against thee. Verse 24. Lord, why do you make me start with this one? 8:23. Then Zedekiah the son of Chenana, I hope that's not how they say it, came near and smote Micaiah upon the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? Now, while we could do an entire conference for 2 weeks on just this, what I want to pull out is extremely crucial, that the prophet had an encounter which other prophets did not have. And because of his encounter, he had an understanding they did not have. So please understand that they could prophesy and had probably been prophesying for a while. But because there's an encounter, remember last week when I told you the encounters of knowledge and encounters of understanding. And because they had not had an encounter of understanding, they had no way of knowing that even as they were prophesying, it was not God speaking. But a prophet with an encounter was able to look at them and see the lying spirit because he had had an encounter. Now, let me explain what the Lord is trying to make clear here. That there are experiences and realms that you're brought into of various degrees that can enable you to recognize certain scenarios simply because you've been carried into that realm. So, for example, if one day you prophesied something. No, let me not use prophesy because someone said that one is out. Since for me, I can't prophesy. Let's say, let me use finances. That one, or cut across. Eh? Let's say, on a particular day, at a particular time, you had an encounter of a certain degree. There's a man of God I know who one time was walking around Kamocha Road and saw a man across the road who told him, follow me. A man he didn't know. And you see, the thing about encounters is this, eh? That if it was just a normal man saying, follow me, you'd say, ah, and I go where? But the encounter comes with a drawing. That's why Jesus could turn to these guys and say, follow me. And they just followed him. Because they're thinking, in 21st century, you tell me, follow me. But there's a drawing. So this man saw a man over, across the road, who said, follow me. And so he followed this man into a deep, dark corridor. And he, along the corridor, he found money just lying down. And started picking. I said, I receive in Jesus' name. Now, it's important you understand that when a man has had an encounter like that, you can never convince him that God can't provide. Because the dimensions of his expectancy of how God provides have just grown. It's no longer mommy, daddy, it's no longer salary. Some guy just showed up and told me, follow me. The dimensions of provision, how you see provision, have just increased. And you see, the thing about encounters is that the moment you have an encounter like that, if someone came and gave the exact experience, hey, me too, I had one like that, you just have to listen to them and you'd know they're lying. Because there is an atmosphere that comes with the encounter and you will feel it. I don't know how to explain, but you feel it. Praise the living God. Praise the Lord. God is majestic. And remember, I've taught on so many occasions that we can approach God as Father, you can approach him as King, you can approach him as Creator. There's another dimension of God where God is approached as Judge. Praise the Lord. Our God is not a president. He's not a prime minister. He's not a chancellor. He's not a prince. He's not a custodian. He's a king. And the fact that he's a king means that when he's dealing with earth and dealing with you, he deals primarily through two ways, government and law. Government and law. The Bible is a book of the kingdom and a book of government and law. That's why constantly when you read scriptures, you'll find those scriptures that some of you just passed by in the Old Testament. Yes, you'll find statements like commandment, statements like statutes, like laws. How many lawyers do we have here? You're a lawyer? Oh, thank God Almighty. Okay. I was thinking, Okay? So, law did not originate on this earth. Law originated in the realm of the spirit long before men were created. Praise the living God. Praise the Lord. And so, the Lord and the spirit world governs by laws. Now, when I say laws, I'm not referring to the Ten Commandments. I'm referring to spiritual laws that ensure that certain things occur and take place in a particular way. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully, because I've met people. There's someone I met during the week, and they sat down, and I'm going to summarize what they said. I said, Rabbi, I've realized that there are things in my life, negative cycles that seem to repeat themselves. Okay? No matter what happens, no matter who I'm dating, every time I'm close to marriage, it dies. I'm giving this as an example because I think... Okay. So let's leave marriage. You're a business person. Every time you're about to get that breakthrough, it dies. Every single time. And so I've had people come to me. This person came to me with this one particularly, it was marriage. And said, it's like there's something following me. Because the same happened to my sister and to my other sister and to my other sister. And so things seem to be repeating themselves. And of course, naturally, they say, and I know I'm under a powerful grace. Say amen. Amen. I know I am under a powerful grace. Why is this happening the way that it is? I pray the Lord allows me to give some sort of an answer. You see, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. It says, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. There are people who approach God in prayer simply through the dimension of asking. And I want to assure you that there are certain things that you cannot get by asking. That's why there's a realm called seek. Not my gospel. It's in the Bible. Ask and you shall receive. There's a seek and you shall find. Then there's a dimension of actually knocking, which is greater than what most people think. We want to touch that one. That one will be a whole topic of its own. But there are people who go to God and ask things that they should actually be seeking. And so they say, but the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. I want to describe to you the spirit realm for a moment, how it shaped the structure. We won't have time to touch the depth of it now, but I'll give you highlights. One of the most vital aspects of the realm of the spirit is that it is judicial. It is legalistic. There are jurisdictions. Praise the Lord. Now, let me explain what that means. There are examples in the Bible where there's a discussion between God and specific individuals. But the scenario is not a throne room scenario. It's a courtroom scenario. There are many. The first courtroom scenario we see in the Bible is Genesis chapter 4 and verse 8. Take me there. Genesis 4 verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, so God shows up, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Now what the Lord is doing here is, the first murder has just taken place. And all these scenarios that we have in law, you know, in a courtroom, there's a judge, there's an advocate, there's a prosecutor or an accuser, there are witnesses. That didn't start here on earth. Okay? The earth just borrowed what already existed in the realm of the spirit. And so here what's happening is that God is asking, he knows something has happened, but he's looking for the witness. Okay, you're with me? Then he says, I'm not my brother's keeper. So Cain is lucky because the witness is not around. Are you with me? Next verse, verse 10. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. There was another witness that Cain did not know about. Now, in the courtroom of heaven, the various scenarios of courtrooms, this is the first one. There's one between God and Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, where God is talking to Abraham about Sodom and Gomorrah. That is a courtroom setting. There's one in the story of Job. The Bible says the sons of God appeared. Okay? That is a courtroom setting. All right? So there are many in the Bible. There's one in Zechariah where the priest is taken up and his filthy rags are removed. That's a courtroom setting. It still happens. Are you with me? Now, I want you to emphasize, you know, when I was coming, the Lord told me specifically, he said, that there are people who will find it, who will find the relevance of this message in a while. So you sit and say, this has nothing to do with my problem, eh? But we pick messages seasonally. And so I need you to pay very close attention to what I'm teaching. You will catch it. When the time, when your season comes, you'll listen to this again. You listen to this again. So there are various courtroom sessions. And here, please understand that in the courtroom setting, some of the witnesses are beings. Okay? Because since the day you were born, you have never been alone. There is nobody on earth who can claim that there was a day they were alone. No one. So you have silent listeners and observers. You with me? They're there. It's biblical. Now, there are beings who witness your life. There are also, like the scripture is given here, witnesses that are not beings. Blood can cry, as many of you know. Because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, I think it says the blood of Jesus speaks a more perfect testimony than that of Abel. So blood can speak, it can witness. All right? That's why, give me Numbers 35, verse 33. And I said to get a bush on that. Numbers 35 and verse 33. This is an interesting scripture. So you shall not pollute the land wherein you are, for blood it defileth the land. What he's saying here is blood defiles the land. And says, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Now, Very, very important, you understand. Do you have another version of this? Give me NKJV. So you shall not pollute the land where you are, for blood defiles the land. So this is a scripture that says it, that there is blood that defiles the land. Just like what happened here with Cain and Abel. Blood can defile the land. There are territories on this earth that are the way they are because of this. Territories. And I'm trying to, oh God, I want to emphasize this, that when God sent you out, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus sends out his disciples, now apostles, and says, first go to Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then all parts of the world. There are territories that are given to men. Those territories are either physical or they can be in kind. So for example, politics is a territory. You're with me? NGO can be a territory. It could be a section. Fashion is a territory. So when you're sent out to these territories, you are literally sent there, first and foremost, to confront the principality that is holding that place. And secondly, to reclaim. Now, so, are you with me? So, according to Numbers 35, verse 33, blood can actually defile a land. And it's children of God who actually have the capacity to reclaim. Now, please understand that I know people who spend hours and days and nights, we reclaim the land, we reclaim the land, we reclaim the land, we reclaim the land, day and night, doing that. I believe in the principle in scripture where God told Abraham, wherever your foot shall touch, amen, I have given it unto thee. Amen. I'm sorry, I do not spend nights trying to what? No. Oh, you guys. Anyway, we shall talk about that a bit deeper. So, I need to give you this grace's understanding of deliverance. Because, anyway, I don't know which churches some of you come from, so we shall go slowly. Now, according to this scripture here, blood is shed and defiles the land. The reason is because there are laws in the realm of the spirit. God cannot overrule those laws. I want you to imagine for a moment, you're the CEO of a company, and there's a particular room you've told your entire company not to enter. And everyone stays away from it because your word is law. And then you hire your son, and your son enters the room. And everyone has seen your son. And you've set down the law, the marker, that surely should someone trespass, you can't survive. So this is the scenario that happened now. Every spirit, every being, more than the beings that you've seen in the Bible, because there are civilizations that existed before us. Not on earth. Not just on earth. Anyway. So all these beings knew, touch not that tree. You understand? It's not just a command to Adam. This is the principle of tithe was first birthed from there. Tithe means God takes something and keeps it to himself. All right? So every spirit knew, and here goes man. Now, I want you to understand something. I want you to understand something. Listen to what the Spirit is saying. Adam was given two instructions, major ones. Till the land and keep it. The tilling of the land was with the physical, so you take care of it physically. The keeping is a spiritual assignment. Because there are people or beings that want that land. You're with me? If you're the only human being, what's the purpose of keeping? You get what I'm saying? Unless there's someone else out there who wants this. So, the keeping was spiritual. Now, when I was reading through the Bible, I came to the realization that, you know, he was doing well with the tilling. But something must have happened because where did the devil pass? You get him? He was never supposed to be in there anyway. Something happened. Anyway, I'm going off. So in the realm of the spirit, there are laws that govern this natural realm. Let me tell you something, and I've taught this before, that just like a woman who's pregnant is connected to her baby, that's how the spirit world feeds the natural. You're with me? So every time she takes chocolate, the kid is taking chocolate. You okay? So in a sense, that's how the spirit realm is. It is the foundation upon which everything in the natural is based. Now, if that is true, and I believe it to be so, you need to understand that last week I told you there's an education that happens on earth. There's a natural education and there's a spiritual education, primarily fostered by encounters. Now, there are chaps out there who have never gone to Makerere University. But they are educated in the spirit. And so, what will happen, because a person who's educated in the spirit knows that the spirit is the parent to the natural, he will gain mastery in it, he or she. So what she will do then is, for example, you understand that before someone falls physically, they first fall in the spirit. Before someone is promoted physically, something must have happened for them to be promoted spiritually. A barrier must have been removed. Nothing just happens. Because a person who's educated in the spirit knows that, they will spend time mastering it. Now, here's what happened. For example, if God forbid, some woman in the dark world, some kind of witch, wants to bring down someone, she'll spend time changing something in the spirit, because their codes, we'll touch that some other day, but their codes to change things so that they manifest in the physical. When a person has mastered that, what happens is that after that they relax. What you see is time and season allows what was done in the spirit to now manifest in the physical. And what you think was done yesterday was done a long time ago. You're with me? And so such a person might never have gone to Makerere University, but will find what you're learning at Makerere is secondary. And tell you, I know a primary knowledge. And this is the place where we're trying to get you to understand. You know, something happened one time, and I need you to know the authority that you have as a child of God, what the Spirit is trying to bring out here. That there was a time, and I shared this with a few people, in fellowship, a couple of years back, someone put in the minister's offering witchcraft. You want me to... Someone, and it happens, I'm not the only one. It has happened to many men of God. We share these things. And so I remember that day, my administrator brought me the offering. I picked this thing, I laughed. I laughed, this was like 2 years ago. I laughed. Now, the thing is that I didn't know what its purpose was. So I said, I'll throw it when I get home. So I was in the car with the... He's not here. I was in the car with someone who was a witness to it. Now, holding on to this thing, remember, I've been given a minister's offering, yeah? All the money disappeared. This guy stopped the car, Rabbi. Now, imagine, you're two people in the car. He's driving. So there's no way you could have picked the money, you understand? Well, what has just happened? He stopped on the side, he said, man, Rabbi. Eh? But even I sat back, I said, eh? This is the worst kind of witchcraft. The one that takes away money. And so I remember, as we drove home, I thought to myself, eh, Lord, what is this? And remember back those days, eh? You're thinking, so I have rent. Lord, bring this back. And this is the thing where I was telling you. You can ask, and you're asking something you should have sought. God just looks at you. Lord, I'm a man of God. Person, put which five, the money has disappeared. I tell you, now it was around 9, 10 p.m. So I got home. I went home, told my wife, can you imagine what has just happened? Someone put, and you know, imagine the money disappeared, but the witchcraft was still there. So I got home, I said, this thing here has caused me issues. And my wife said, hey, you throw it. So I remember, I stopped, and I've had, God has had to teach me how to go into the authority that I have. Because I sat back and I thought to myself, no. So I began to pray in tongues. Now it was dark. At that time, I remember, it was coming to about midnight. Because all that time I was thinking, Lord, bring back my money. So I began to pray in tongues. Then the Spirit of the Lord told me, walk outside in the darkness. So I went out into the darkness. At that time, we had shrubs. This time now, we don't have shrubs. But at that time, there were shrubs around my house there. So I walked into the depth of the darkness, not knowing why I was doing it. I prayed in tongues, walked, and in the very middle, I found the envelope with the money. I kid you not. I picked it up, went back. My wife was saying, where did you find? I said, I just prayed in tongues, was led, and it's a, you see now, that encounter told me I can lose nothing. You understand, eh? Praise the Lord. Which brings me back to the point that I was making, that in the realm of the Spirit is judiciary in nature. There are laws. Okay? Matthew chapter 18, from verse 18. Read it for me. Matthew 18, verse 18. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed on earth. Will be loosed in heaven. Go on. Verse 19. Now, Jesus here, if you read the story, he's talking about something else. Then for some reason, we don't know why, he navigates into this. It's like, you need to know this particular thing. Then he starts by saying, whatever you bind in heaven shall be, bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed. Then he gives another secret. He says, again I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. That's the second thing. Then there's a third one. Give me verse 20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Now these are laws you need to understand. You need to understand it. This binding here, while the examples in scripture where you bind to cast out a demon, this binding has nothing to do with demons. Absolutely nothing to do with demons. There are no demons in that thing. What Jesus is talking about is what they refer to as transactions. They are contracts that are made on earth. There's a contract you can make. And once the contract is made on earth, it is binding. You get what I'm saying? What you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Huh? Then it says, what you loose, you have the capacity to dissolve a contract. And it will be dissolved in the spirit. Huh? That's what you call spiritual transactions. Now, your salvation was a contract. The moment you gave your life to Christ, it was binding on earth. So it was bound in heaven. Are you getting me? That is a contract. Now, some of you are thinking about signing, spilling blood. When it came to salvation, blood was spilled. Okay? Praise the Lord. But there are chaps in the dark world who understand these transactions. And so they make contracts. Now, I really don't want to go into the depth of this. But when they make contracts, the scripture says in 1 Peter, I believe, 1 Peter 5, it says, the devil is like a roaring lion, looking for whom he may devour. The devil does not roar just left and right. The devil can go back into the past. He can roam in the past. He can't roam in the future. He can roam in the past. Can I give you a quick example? Judges chapter 9. Judges chapter 9, start from verse 15. We have to read through it very quickly. And the bramble said to the trees, Joshua 9:15, sorry. Though this also works, but Joshua 9:15. So Joshua made peace with them. Now, what he's talking about here is a group of people called the Gibeonites. You read the story if you have time. Joshua makes peace with the Gibeonites. So Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the rulers of the congregation swore to them. So there's a contract that is made. This is Joshua's time. You with me? 2 Samuel chapter 21, from verse 1. 2 Samuel 21. Now, years later, there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years. God made a contract with the Israelites, 2 major contracts. There would never be famine on their land. And secondly, their enemies would never defeat them. So here it was, David finds an anomaly. He says, now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years. How? God had promised. Then he says, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord. So he's not asking so that he might receive. He's seeking that he might find. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then he says, inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered. It is because of Saul and his bloodthirsty house, because he killed the Gibeonites. Now, a contract was made 700 years before Saul by Joshua. Whether people forgot it or not. Whether what or not. Whether consciously or unconsciously. Saul breaks the contract. And the entire Israel is in famine. For 3 years. And a man of God who had the capacity to understand the difference between asking and seeking decided to seek, and the Lord told him what to do. Now you read on the story, what happened was David later asked these guys, what can I do for you? The Gibeonites said, blood must be replaced for blood. So they asked for Saul's 7 sons. That's not our generation, eh? It's not our time. But I need something clear. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this out is because look how far the devil went. Because you don't see it, but he's the one who brought the accusation. And the judgment of famine didn't happen automatically. There's someone paying attention to contracts. So how far does he go? Because listen, David here had been ruling for 17 years. The devil goes backwards, sees Saul has killed, goes backwards 700 years, says, there was a covenant here, comes before God and says, listen. Now you don't see it there, but it happens because he brings accusations. Now I have to bring it, I want to rush to the place of grace what we're in. Because you see, there are people out there in the world who are trapped in cycles because of this. There are illegal captives. Okay, let me explain it. When you gave your life to Jesus, Jesus said, I came to set the captives free. He's not just talking about captives in relation to just sin. You are legally a captive. Legally. Legally, the devil had every right. Every right. And so he sets the captives free by his blood. Captives are free. Now please understand that the moment you give your life to Jesus, you've made a contract with God. A binding one. The Bible says you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's how you get born again. Now, please understand that it doesn't magically just sort all this stuff out. And this is why sometimes I think you need to understand men of authority or the authority, when you come to the authority that you have, you need to stand and say, that's it. This stops here. This stuff of crying, Lord, you will cry, no answer will come. You have to seek. And the seeking then is mainly in the understanding of who you are in line with God. Because you see, while the spirit realm is primarily judiciary in nature, the second aspect of the spirit realm is that it has dignitaries. There are dignitaries who are spiritual, and there are dignitaries who are natural. Natural dignitaries. When someone has walked with God and gained authority, they can come into your life and say, I break. Now, sometimes, some men, because they're conscious, someone doesn't have to say, I break. You can just say, in the name of Jesus, I usher you in, but he's breaking. Yeah. It just doesn't want to make you conscious of it. Because we don't make people devil conscious. I say, in the name of Jesus, I set you on that mountain. He has just moved you from one place to another. Because the Bible says he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We are transitioned. And that happens a lot. A lot. There are people who are illegal captives. They are experiencing things that in their right, they are not supposed to experience. Luke chapter 13, verse 11. I hear the Lord say, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. Verse 12. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Whatever you loose on earth, he's dissolving a contract. And I want to show you that it's true what he's doing here. Verse 13. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Verse 14. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. Go on to verse 15. The Lord then answered him and said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? Verse 16. So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham. Now what he's saying is that God made a covenant with Abraham. And in that covenant, they're just blessings, not curses. Yeah? But this is an anomaly. So he's saying, this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. So what he's saying, someone is suffering with something they were never supposed to suffer with. Not my gospel. Eh? Huh? And I can assure you, that's why we're trying to awaken you to the authority that you actually have as a child of God. Because you're also a dignitary. Huh? There are some things you are never meant to go before God to beg. Never. Eh? Praise the living God. Remember last week I told you something. I said, the Lord has given me a scripture. Lamentations, what does it say? Lamentations 3:36. Do you have an amplified version? Or submit a man, okay, to subvert a man in his cause of these things the Lord does not approve. I want you to remember this scripture. Another version says, for a man to be captured unlawfully, the Lord cannot allow such a thing. Now I need you to remember that scripture. Very, very important. He cannot allow such an unlawful capture. The unlawful captive. No. Amen. And so the church is full of very many of these, unlawfully, praying in tongues every day, lifting their hands. But it just takes you to stand up and realize the authority you have. Often, now please understand that sometimes if you cannot see it and if you cannot tell the source of something, God often will bring people who can. I have found that there are things that are broken simply by atmospheres. You just need to be in the right place. Amen. And things fall off. Amen. You are a dignitary. Amen. Praise the Lord. Eh? I discovered one time that in the realm of the spirit, there are spirits you do not joke around with. And by joking around, I mean, even if you're a son of God, they can be offended if you don't treat them based on their rank. I know what I'm talking about. You go. You read the story of Zechariah. Guy just asks the angel. He says, how will I know that this is indeed of the Lord? Struck you with dumbness. and you understand? And guy says, and even before he strikes him with dumbness, he says, I am Gabriel that standeth in the presence of the Lord. He does not say the Lord says. No. He says, from this day onwards, you shall be struck with dumbness. Please understand that that is an angel of God, not the devil. So there are spirits, there are beings in the realm of the spirit that because of their rank, be careful what you just go around saying. I know. There's a man of God who told me he had an encounter with an angel, a unique angel that had a narrow face. Anyway, they all look different. So this angel... appears to him and is giving him instructions. And this guy has a problem with stammering. So he asked the angel, but you're telling me to do all this. I have a problem with speaking. Now the angel is reading a scroll, rolled the scroll and hit him on the head. True story. So guys, eh? I am telling you the Lord is sending you to go and minister and you're telling me what? Hey! So, there are laws in the realm of the spirit. There are things, there are contracts that make, the covenants that are made, and God follows them and sticks to them. Huh? Praise the living God. Eh? The difference between you and the Old Testament person is that in your salvation, you now have the authority to dissolve a contract. Before that, men would just wait for Jesus to come. And they just suffer with things. This is a New Testament dispensation. Huh? Praise the living God. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Huh? The Bible says of the book of Job. The Bible says in the book of Job. We won't go there. Don't go there. In the book of Job, here he is. Simple guy, righteous. The Bible refers to him as righteous Job. And there he is. And scripture says in Job chapter 1, I believe it's verse 10, verse 5, he's offering something for his children, lest they be, they might have sinned, so he says. And he's offering up something. And now I need you to understand, because remember I told you there are witnesses in the realm of the spirit, in the court. The first witness is blood. Okay? Blood is a witness, like I've shown you. There are beings that can be witnesses. Sin can be a witness. The nature, not the act. Okay? Let me show it to you in scripture. Genesis chapter 18. I like to use scripture. Genesis chapter 18, from verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, verse 21, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it. The cry of what? The sin. So there's a nature in a land that can cry. Let me tell you, we're in a New Testament dispensation, but there are judgments that happen to nations as we're watching. I can assure you. Sometimes there are different kinds. Last week I told you there's a judgment of ignorance that God can place when no one knows what's going on and what to do. That is a judgment in and of itself. Another judgment is when God allows people to have an evil ruler. Yeah, it's scripture. He allows them to have their evil ruler. That can be a judgment to a nation. guys, eh? Do you know, and I know what I'm talking about, do you know that sometimes, not sometimes, the state of a nation is often, I'm going to use the word foreshadow because I can't find a better word right now, is often a foreshadow of the state of the church in that nation. I know what I'm talking about. And you see, that when the church arises, the nation changes along with it. I'm telling you, we have work to do. That's why it is relevant to pray for the nation. Very, very relevant. It should be part of your what? I found that most people, unless you're graced for something, most people, God will never give you international visions and dreams if you don't care about the nation. If you're thinking about your rent and you think God is going to... Hey, guys. Unless you're graced for it, but usually, and sometimes he'll tease you. So he'll give you an international dream today. And what he's doing is drawing you to see a bigger picture. And you're like, Rabbi, I had this dream. And in that dream, a man came and told me, pray for the president. So I went, I prayed for the president. Now, Rabbi, my rent. And indeed, your rent is important. It is. But there are levels you can never enter unless your mind is raised to that level. Oh, yeah? Praise the living God. So sin here cries out. Sin can cry. Thirdly, offerings speak. Now this is important before I close. Very, very important. The reason why we emphasize, especially a sacrificial offering, is not so that I can have money in my pocket. Offering speaks. There is a third law that I showed you there where Jesus said, in the presence of two or more witnesses, a thing is established. When you're having an issue, the first witness of the issue is you. The second is your seed. I wish you understood what I've just said. The second is your seed, especially if it is sacrificial. It speaks on your behalf. And the rule is this: in the presence of two or more witnesses, a thing is established. Amen. I want you to understand that no matter what cycle is in your life, we break it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We stand together as children of God. Poverty is not your portion. In the name of Jesus Christ, you shall enter your territory. In the name of Jesus Christ, your testimony shall be true. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the person who does not know what to do. Now I speak over you in the name of Jesus, that whether through dream or vision, whether through an encounter of any kind, you will receive your answer before this week ends. In the name of Jesus, that you might be able to see where the source is. And like Lamentation says, that an unlawful captive the Lord cannot allow. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I pray over your territory that it shall soon begin to see you rise, that your light shall be clear for each and everyone, that your family members shall come to you and begin to testify of the goodness of the Lord. In the name of Jesus.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.